I am. Okay. And Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
Dr. Popio?
Yeah.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
Yeah.
Dr. Campbell? Ms. Tibbetts, are you with us? Ms. Asta, are you with us?
I'm here. Yes.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Thank you.
Call me.
For this particular case today. Dr. Campbell, you made reference to some more materials. I think Dr. Papil also wanted more materials. We talked about continuance. So does someone want to say what we need exactly in terms of the materials, and then this way our executive director can see what she can gather, and do we want to move towards a continuance?
Dr. Sadler,
go ahead,
Dr. With the items that are included in the investigative report, I feel like there's more information that we need, so I lean towards a continuance, but I would like to ask the
Does your electronic health record system still have all of Dr. Keefer's notes in there?
Yes.
So, what I would request is you guys are laying out a case for record keeping, lack of record keeping, et cetera. I guess what I would like to see is some examples of that obviously dealt with your wife, that will document inconsistencies in records keeping, inconsistencies in the controlled substances between, what's documented in the chart or not. I guess I would like some proof of that, if possible, as one of the see that. And I'd like to see by chance, you know, if Dr. Deeper would be willing to participate in our next board meeting and share these issues, because there are significant claims and significant to the fact that the borders medical practice and that the not she heard from.
Okay.
Other board members, suggestions or requests?
Doug Campbell, I concur with everything that Dr. Sadlick and Dr. Bofield have just outlined for us, respective to the method in which we acquire the information, whether or not, and this is just both information, we should follow an investigation against our volunteer to help us gather in a more professional way or not. I don't know if you guys have any insight on whether or not you feel that would be appropriate to, at this time, open an investigation and wait for information that we receive from Dr. Porter to help substantiate before we.
I think it's a wait and see approach. And I think if Dr. Deeper decides not to participate in the board meeting, and the documentation provided by Dr. Porter and counsel suggests what they're suggesting, then that would be something I think we can address down the road. But I think we need a little more information before we proceed with that.
Dr. Porter's attorney, I would encourage you, as a part of the follow-up, to look at the records that Dr. Kiefer, her own documentation. I think this goes to the heart and soul of some of her accusations against Dr. Porter. And we could turn over what we've been able to collect, identifying patients by name. And if the board has an investigator, we would welcome the board looking at the rather shocking documentation history of Dr. Kiefer. It goes right to the core when she claims that she was never told about certain prescriptions that were relayed to her by staff that Mrs. Porter needed. And I think it would be extremely relevant in your future consideration if that were to be included.
And we'll need to make a motion that just says it looks like for our continuance of case number 2116, that's Dr. Jason Porter. Dr. Porter, before we make a motion, come up with the conclusion of this day, are you really clear on this oxycodone issue?
Oh, as far as the prescription that I signed,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I just want to make 100% clear that in the next 30 days, none of this is going to continue on as liable going through this continuum phase.
Absolutely. Well, I did not know the prescription of the medication. They were surprised and shocked. And again, I know well enough that one controlled two, controlled three, one controlled two, and one controlled two. That's how we control. Yeah, not an issue.
So, does anyone want to make a motion on moving this to the continuance, which would be apparently coming next month, which would be in March?
I'll make a motion for continuance to request additional documentation as previously discussed, including the question of Dr. Kiefer, as well as Dr. Kiefer's partner, that suggests, you know, the record keeping,
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to continue this to the Chair Tibbetts, I second that motion.
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
I'm going to say I concur. So, yeah, my only concern would be that I'd like to wrap this by the next board meeting. We have quite a bit of information already, and subsequently, we can get additional data as the board requested, but I would like to try to wrap this by the next March meeting. So, my motion would be yes.
Dr. Popeo?
My motion is yes as well, and my statement is yes as well. Again, we have the caveat that not only are the voting for the board meeting, but more people that can be the family members at this point as well.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Let's move on to Eastwood Adoptive Order and Mr.
Dowd.
Yeah, can I ask when the next board meeting is going to be? I've got a rather heavy court calendar, and I want to make sure I'm going to be available.
It will be the second Thursday of next month. I don't have the exact date.
March 11th.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We appreciate your efforts.
All right. Let's move on. Let me go back up to the number A for bottom A, page number 20169. That's Dr. Jackson Bain. Is Dr. Bain on the line?
Yes, I'm present.
And my name is Ian Neal. I'm Dr. Bain's attorney. I'm sorry, your last name was
Neal.
N-E-A-L-E, first name E-M-I-A-N, and I represent Dr. Bain.
Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Can you give us the operation of 21-69?
Yes. On around June of 2020 through July 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received several complaints regarding Ms. Ashton Joyce. The complaint supplied evidence Ms. Joyce was using the title of NMD and doctor in providing her opinion regarding the use of face masks. After review, board staff discovered Ms. Joyce was a graduate of Southwest College, however, was not licensed by this board. Her use of credentials were seen on the web at large and social media accounts provided by the complainants. Ms. Joyce subsequently applied for licensure in the state of Arizona. The application was taken into consideration by the board at the meeting of September 10th, 2020. The board voted to grant licensure. Also at that meeting, the board considered the use of title by Ms. Joyce. During the review by the board, Ms. Joyce stated she was currently working in an unlicensed state. The board voted to dismiss the case. In September of 2020, Dr. Joyce filed a complaint with this board against Dr. Bain, alleging, among other things, that Dr. Bain's complaint against her was, quote, motivated by personal agenda, end quote, and that the statements made against her were, quote, libelous, end quote. Dr. Bain is licensed as a naturopathic physician in the state of Arizona and is held to board statute and rule. ARS 3215-51, a disciplinary action is duty to report, investigative powers, immunity, hearing, appeal, notice, states in part. Any person or entity that reports provides information to the board in good faith is not subject to any action for civil damages. It is believed Dr. Bain acted in good faith when she reported the information to the board. Dr. Bain was one of several people who reported the same information to the board. It appears to be there's no violation of board statute or rule on the part of Dr. Bain, and dismissal of the complaint is suggested by board staff.
Mr. Neil or Dr. Kane, any further judgment and comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I submitted a response to the complaint, and I don't think I need to approve. I think that Ms. Anthony has very clearly stated what occurred. There was no ulterior motive here or any time. Was in fact licensed in Arizona because she used the appellation that only licensed doctors can use. And so we ask you to dismiss this.
I would concur, but let me ask board members. So, Dr. Peel, let me start with you. We'll work down the list. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't feel like there's anything that Dr. Bain misrepresented. We have all of the social media posts from Dr. Joyce, so there's no misrepresentation or libel, in my opinion, and it's just facts, and it was shared by numerous other physicians as well, so I have no reason not to dismiss this case.
And then Dr. Campbell, I concur.
Ms. Tippett?
No further comment.
And then Ms. Gallen?
No further comment.
And Ruben, are you on the line or have you disconnected?
I'm on the line and I have a comment. I concur.
Okay. So I'm going to motion that the case be dismissed. And Gail, can you do a roll call on
that? I need a second, please.
Second. I second the motion, Dr. Rubin.
Thank you. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Neal, and thanks, Dr. Bain.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and move on to case number 20-149, and that would be with Sarah Fenner. And let's check, is Dr. Minimus on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes. Board members, at the meeting of October 8th, 2020, the board reviewed case number 2149 regarding Dr. Erica Middlemiss. At that meeting, the board articulated concerns regarding her charting and lack of appropriate physical examination. The board voted to continue the matter and have Dr. Middlemiss submit three additional charts for review, specifying the chart should be current patients. And you have those charts in your possession for your review.
Legal representation, or are you doing this yourself?
I'm just going to call.
Okay. So my question that I have, I'm going back through this, and if I look at, there was a provider's note here, which was Stenger, Dr. Michael Stenger, DO. I kind of would like you to get notes. I mean, his is very involved, obviously, but to try to get your notes, maybe mirroring a little bit more of what he has in his notes. Do you think you can get to that point?
You know what? If I was doing this on a daily basis, I would expect you to be at that point. I'm not doing it enough. And if I was, yes, absolutely, I would be doing enough self-study to be at that point. Yeah.
And currently you're utilizing, which is fine. You're still doing the manual system. And you found any shortcuts in that in the manual system to help you get to where you need to go.
Well, yes, I need to do what I need to. If that's what you mean, you know, I usually have something I can reference or look up when I'm seeing a patient.
Okay. And refresh my memory, what kind of patients are you mostly working with?
Well, when I see a patient, if I do any of the cannabis certifications, those are the medical patients that I would see. I haven't done any this year yet, so.
Are you mostly working in more of a counseling, psychological capacity?
Yeah, it's more of an energy medicine technique that I use. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, I think.
Okay. So let me ask some of the physician board members. Since you've joined us, Dr. Rubin, I'll ask you for your thoughts.
Thank you. I read through and agree with what you said. Understood that this is not full time. The charts are minimal. The two issues that I saw with them are one, I didn't see a social history in any of those three, and I would think for an MMJ cert, it would be important to note and talk about social history and certain habits and at least, you know that you checked into that and different habits of behavior. And I didn't see any ICD-10s.
Okay. Dr. O'Neill, your suggestions, thoughts?
Yeah, the ICD-10s are going to be my commentary as well. You know, certainly more comprehensive, but, you know, the ICD-10 codes just generally have to be there.
And then,
I don't have any comments.
Dr. Campbell, your
call. I don't have any questions either. Thank you.
My thoughts, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's the charting issue, which could possibly be cleaned up with a charting course that's available. Maybe talk about this. There's the the cannabis issue. How would the board like to resolve this?
This stuff will fail. My recollection, when I look back through this, so to clarify if I'm wrong, I believe that there was no PMPs run under her name. However, we saw documentation that they were all run under another physician's name. Is that correct that we did get the PMPs run under the DEA?
I believe you're right, but let me look at the executive director to see information.
I would have to look back at the report in the minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay, so when I originally filled in at the clinic, I did not have a PMP number. So as far as I said that I worked there, I had to check the PMP under the main position. After that, I got an account under her, which gave me my own account number for the PMP, so I could run them on my own, but they still came up under her. So the report will show both of our names on it, and then I did wind up getting my own DEA and CMR key for that.
I did see that. When I look back, this stuff will go, I didn't see that, but it was partially another division, so. I believe that one of the issues isn't the situation any longer. And it was just ended up with a push hard situation.
Okay. I think you're right. If it's a little bit finer tuned, the manual system isn't fine. You can't cut the pace with that. But I think it might behoove you to, it's up to the other board members to take a chart course.
Okay. That's certainly what I thought. So it sounds fine just for me.
Since you've been on the phone, that's what you've been hearing all afternoon. So I'll make a motion, and I just need your opinions. The motion would be a letter of, I'll make a letter of concern with 8 hours of CME.
Can you please identify what the area of concern is for you?
Area of concern would be insufficient charting.
I would support that.
Within a year or five, she could probably add that to the 30 plus than we have the opioid. So it would be within a year.
And Dr. Savick, this is Gail Anthony, if I may. Those 8 hours are above and beyond what's required for renewal.
I think she could use these as part of her 30 hours. The 8 hours of charting could be incorporated if the rest of the board members agree, could be incorporated into her 30. What's your thoughts?
I concur with our roommate. I think it's a great call, and my thoughts exactly to have those incorporated and her 30, and she doesn't need any more. But yes, continue with concerns. Charting is important for so many reasons we stated. So I support the motion.
Okay. And Dr. Campbell, your thoughts, since you do charting, your thoughts on that?
I would agree, and I can understand from her perspective regarding not practicing regularly. However, again, we fall back on those so many reasons, and frankly, all it takes is one incident to go wrong, and we've got not only legal problems but potential issues, occurring with patients if other doctors are trying to, perhaps in an urgent situation, figure out our own notes. It's important that we hold ourselves to the highest standards in note taking. So I agree with the 8 hours. I think that it will help her get over that hump and move forward without having any questions.
Yeah, my thought is that I don't want to make this arduous on top of 30. So we back within her 30 as part of her 30, and then let me get the gallon and the feedback on it.
Okay. I recommend Jimmy for some quarter, so I think that'll be good.
Okay. Yeah, can you do a roll call then on that motion?
Yes. Dr. Sadler?
Could you restate the motion? I think it sort of morphed as a home line, and just to see for the record.
For basically a letter of concern, not just putting a letter of concern, with the 30 hours of CME, 8 of those 30 hours would be in charting. So she would not have an additional 8, she would have the 8 back into her 30. Is that clear?
Yes. And Dr. Salek, you made the motion. I believe Dr. Popio, you seconded the motion. Okay. And Dr. Salek?
Yes.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, Dana.
Let's move on to case number 20171. And this is Diana Davidson. Is she on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And this is on license initial review. So, Gail, could you give us the review on that?
Yes. This complaint came to the board by way of information provided by Chris, quote unquote Chris. Chris alleges Ms. Eaton Davidson claims to be an MD who had been treating his wife. Chris provided pictures of dietary supplement packaging he claims his wife bought from Ms. Eaton Davidson. Chris also provided a picture of 2 vials of cetriaxone, which he claims was given to his wife by Ms. Eaton Davidson. On December 10th, 2020, a complaint notice was, along with the supporting documentation, was sent to Ms. Davidson with the request to submit the response. In her response, she claims to have earned a degree in naturopathy from Clayton University. Clayton is not an approved college of naturopathic medicine. Ms. Davidson provided a copy of the certification from the, quote, American Naturopathic Certification Board, end quote, which claims she is, quote, board certified in traditional naturopathy, end quote. Ms. Eaton Davidson admits she is not licensed as a naturopathic physician in the state of Arizona. She admits to using ND on the packaging label. The picture is provided to the board. She claims the packaging disclosing her use of ND is protein powder. Ms. Eaton Davidson stated she does not use the designation ND on her business card. Her card clearly states, though, Davidson Naturopathic and Dr. Diana J. Eaton Davidson on the back of the business card. There is appointment information. Ms. Eaton Davidson stated that the cetriaxone injectable was stolen from her premises from an ex-employee. Ms. Eaton Davidson claims several years ago, a woman came to her with boxes of this and the written order from a clinic in Mexico. Ms. Eaton Davidson claims the woman presented to her with MRSA infection on her leg and asked if she could administer the injections. Ms. Davidson stated, quote, when I saw the extent of her infection, I told her she needed to be in the hospital for proper care. In the process, the medication was left at my house and since expired, end quote. Since that time, the woman had moved out of state to a sister's home and is since deceased.
And then, White Mountain Naturopathic Medical, Dr. Nichols, wrote a letter also. He's not on the line by any chance, I would tell you.
Did I interrupt for a moment?
You can in a second. I'm talking to the executive director.
Hi.
Gail, you had a conversation with him, and that's in the notes also, correct?
That's correct. Would you like me to discuss that as well?
That would be helpful.
Okay. In addition to Ms. Davidson's response, was a letter included by Dr. Douglas Nichols, who's an NMD. In a telephonic interview with this investigator, Dr. Nichols confirmed he wrote the letter. He stated he knows Ms. Davidson for a long time, that she lived in Texas years ago, and he believes that she has been living in Arizona for approximately 20 years. When asked about her credentials, Dr. Nichols stated he knew she was not licensed as a naturopathic physician in Arizona. He was not aware her education was from Clayton, but knew she had a certificate issued by the American Naturopathic Certification Board. Dr. Nichols said he believed her, quote, certification allowed her to do certain things. Dr. Nichols said Ms. Eaton Davidson would sometimes refer a patient to him who required help with hormonal issues. Dr. Nichols stated he has known Ms. Eaton Davidson to give IVs to people. When asked if she held any licensing in the state which allowed her to give IVs, he answered he was not aware she held any other certification. Dr. Nichols stated Ms. Eaton Davidson is now retired. She has not been seeing clients for several months. Dr. Nichols stated he has never known Ms. Eaton Davidson to use the credential ND credentials. When informed she had used those credentials on her supplement and used the designation doctor and naturopathic on her business card, he seemed very surprised.
And, Ms. Davidson, your feedback on all this? I have an email here from Dr. Nichols that he sent to Gail Anthony yesterday afternoon late. And he wanted to read it if you haven't received it. From your nieces. Can I read this email in? From Dr. Nichols?
Right.
Okay. Yes. So, Gail, can I use Dr. Nichols again? I wanted to review a little in regards to Diana Davidson, who we spoke about in the latter part of January. Diana told me, and as a girl said, was mentioning IVs without knowing details of her past, and I did not realize that in the past, she had been connected to Dr. Gordon Joseph, D.O., M.D.H., who was practicing medicine in the Valley. Dr. Joseph was. IVs being most of his practice. She was doing IVs under his supervision, even at his facility in the Valley. She also had a clinic in Texas where she had two doctors that she worked with doing IVs as well. These were MDs. Dr. Joseph was apparently going to start a satellite practice up here in Snowflake and would have had her really good at if he had not passed away in 2015. She was apparently trying to expand his IV practice to various locations and called it Chelation Care USA. I know that Dr. DeLow is working in correlation with Dr. Joseph at one time as well. Diana has done nutritional counseling in the past as well, but she hasn't really been involved in any clients more than the death of her husband in 2018. Her health hasn't been the best either, and so this has slowed her down as well. I did not know this information in the past until she told me, and I just wanted to clarify. If you have any questions, please shoot me an email, Dr. Nichols.
So, Ms. Davidson, were you in Arizona, were you doing IV therapies? Were you giving
under the supervision of Dr. Joseph? That was probably from, let's see, I'm going to say 2000, maybe just before the death of 2015. And that's who I specified I did when Dr. Douglas knew that I didn't realize that I was doing it under Dr. Joseph's supervision. I had met when he started school, I believe, and I knew his dad very well, so he didn't know the details. And I've known Doug for all these years. So no, it's only under the supervision of a doctor.
Okay, do you have any medical training whatsoever? Are you a medical assistant, LPN, RN?
Well, I don't have that, but I have spent from about 1977 is when I started working with a doctor in chelation back in Houston.
IV is the one that taught me all of the IV therapies and the IV performing therapies, and I know that it wasn't required to be a nurse or anything to perform those IVs. As long as it was under an NVO or physician. And I had started my training back in chelation with him, as well as then starting with, when we talk about my credentials, I worked with the ISCT, which is the International Society of Chelation Technicians. That's under ACAM, the American College of Medical, Association, I believe. It's a big chelation group, nationwide or something worldwide. But I started in 81 doing classes in nutrition with Clayton University, and I was certified in International Society of Chelation Technicians to do for IV therapy in 1984. I actually...
Dr. Sedgwick and Dr. Sedgwick, may I if there's no... I appreciate the testimony, but if there's no medical training, this all is irrelevant. There's a line here, in my opinion, that may have been crossed. I think we should discuss that. Any kind of training that's irrelevant to the board, doesn't matter. If she's doing IVs, we got to sort that out. This is my opinion, because it's... Sure, this is Dr. Rubin. I'm already confused, but I think what I'm hearing is that we have somebody who is saying that they were doing IV therapy with no medical training whatsoever, but doing it somehow or another where an actual physician was signing off on that. But I don't know the nature of the physician. I don't even know if we can question that physician, or if that's even under the purview of our board. But we have a concern that somebody's practicing, claiming that they're using a protected title, such as MD, claiming the word naturopathic, and is not mentioned by the board of the state of Arizona. I think we need to focus on that. So I have a question. Were you doing medical treatment, regardless of your opinion of if you were allowed to? Were you doing injectable therapy, or were you prescribing treatments? Were you diagnosing people without a license in the state of Arizona?
No, I have never diagnosed. I have never prescribed nothing. No. Anytime I did anything, it was in direction, and that was it.
Which doctor was this again?
Gordon Joseph.
Okay. I remember Gordon Joseph. So Gordon Joseph employed you to perform tasks as an employee,
yes,
but not as a licensed physician, but not as a licensed physician.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And exactly.
Okay.
You brought up the MD, and I would like to kind of go on into that as well when you're ready, but.
When was the last time you administered an IV under his direction and licensure?
2015, prior to his death.
And so, Dr. Sedgwick, well, Gordon Joseph was a nicotine vendor, right?
He was a DO.
He was a DO. Okay. So, I don't know if that any of that then falls under our purview, because Dr. Joseph, who I do remember, but was not licensed by our board. And so I think we then need to direct to the supplements and the other stuff we're given to use of a protected title, in my opinion.
So I'm not sure if you're aware that obviously at this point that you cannot use the term, naturopathic doctor, physician in the state of Arizona.
Well, I'm understanding that now. The reason I say that is all those years prior to even like the Southwest school and I mean the other schools, maybe about 97 and 98, the only thing that were available for us back then was Clayton University. I know we're going to find it as the best where I started. And I had at least, you know, over 10 years, so 15 years, trying to be certified and this and that. And they still give you these, like I have that, I sent it to you that said board certified naturopath. That was in 1990. There was a current one that says from the National Registry of Naturopaths, naturopathic practitioners, naturopaths. And it's a registration. It's not licensed. I've known it's not a license. I've never practiced as that. In fact, I don't even refer to myself truthfully as an ND or naturopath. Probably since 2015, all I've been doing is some individual nutritional counseling, because I knew once all this legislation had changed that I could not pursue being a licensed naturopath. I understood that. I wasn't going to practice medicine. I never even attempted to. Up to 2006, I believe it is, and from 1998 to 2006, I was considered licensed in the state of Idaho, which is where I at one point was going to move, as a naturopathic physician. I'm pretty sure I sent that documentation in. And it says on the record that I had a different married name at the time, Susanna J. Eaton Olson, and the naturopathic physician, and that was in Idaho, which we consider doctors. I never went there to practice. I was always considering that because the mayor had never did. But that's where that title came from. I don't ever even now when I do my nutritional counseling, which I've been doing for quite a while because of my health and my more serious situations with my history than that, but I don't even refer to myself as that to people. I don't just, you know, announce that. I don't misrepresent myself. In fact, the business cards that I sent, which probably I shouldn't have done, but I was trying to be forthright to show that I had not used ND. I don't have letterhead. I don't have anything. And except for that one protein powder and I was just unaware. And I called my board, which I know you don't recognize, the ANMA, and they also informed me after this that, no, you're not supposed to use our ND. Well, I don't even know if you recognize that, but that's what they told me. I've kind of come to the conclusion that I don't know what to think about this board right now. I've paid my yearly dues forever thinking that they were giving me the right information. So I'm admitting to the fact that I put ND on that protein, not really knowing. And now they're telling me I should use RND, and I have no reason to. I'm totally retired. The reason I haven't done anything since, much of anything since Dr. Joseph died, is I had a husband who died. I got married, and that one died of cancer, and he got cancer just around 2015. And I took care of him until 2018, which was a very difficult time. And I had septicemia a few years before that, which blew out both hips. I'm not trying to give you a sad, crying story here, but I'm trying to give you an idea of my timeline. And during this time, I've had two hip surgeries and waiting for another one to be redone again. I have had cancer, and after my husband had it, I got back to cancer, so my life hasn't been really available to even doing much of anything. And I have not portrayed myself as any kind of a mind physician or diagnosing or doing anything such as that. The most I've done, as I said, is some nutritional counseling, and even that has been so limited. I would like to interject here, and I hope I'm not going out of your direction, but I was pretty upset when I got this letter. What happened was, I was hoping that the board had taken time to look into these allegations and who made them. It's Robert Maxwell and Kim Smith. I assume that they have accused me of some horrific things. And what's happened is Robert Maxwell has threatened me and also some other people in my life. And his so-called wife, or I guess she's really girlfriend still, but she even admitted to us, when I say us, I had another girl that is very close to me on the phone just after this letter from you came, that she knew he had done this to be vindictive and the assault allegations. She's the one that stole everything, and she said she didn't realize he had continued these allegations, but he was so mad at me. He has been out of prison. He was in prison for 7 years. He was probably his third time in prison. And sentenced for physical abuse, child endangerment, and fraud. And the reason he got so mad at me was because he was trying to get me to let him get into all my personal accounts and do a website for me, and then come to find out he's actually created some fraud and extortion, and this is by her own words. But she is, I've asked her if she would come forward to admit to you that these are false allegations, but she's fearful of her life. She's not pregnant, she's 4 years old, pregnant with twins, and this man is very much in danger. And he's on parole. And this, he has said, and he told me personally that before this ever happened, I mean, I didn't know he was going to do this, but I have witnesses that heard it and were threatened too, that I will pay for this because I told people that not to use them. Or the website, because it's not honest.
Ms. Davidson, I empathize with, number one, you know, your health. Number two, you're going to have to take off the ND from your labels, from the business card, et cetera. Whatever it is, the company will operate in a licensed state. That whatever cards you have, that you basically get those restated, and also the protein powder, put a label on it or something. So you deposit, you're in a licensed state, public gets confused, and then you have this type of situation, on top of everything else you're dealing with, you have this type of situation that happens. So my suggestion is, kick it back to the board members is get those labels and those business cards restated. No R&D, none of that. Just what, you know, who you are and what you do. Because you're opening yourself up for a tremendous, you know, problem.
Yeah. There's really no reason for me to even have any more business cards. I'm done. I've been done for quite a while. I stopped remarried. We're moving back and forth to New Mexico. I'm not even doing nutritional counseling at this time. So there is no reason for me to have any of it. And the protein powder is just going to be probably my personal cabinet. And that's that. So I have no reason to even have anything anymore.
Okay.
Dr. Leo, your thoughts? Yeah, I have no problems with dismissing the case and with the understanding that exactly what you just said about concerns with the protected title. So that's why I would just probably go to the city.
Thank you. Ma'am, with respect to the injectables and we heard that there was a case of vials that was sent in your house, that it was brought to you by a serious issue and sent them off to ER, and the vial stayed in your possession.
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Take care of yourself.
I am moving on. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye. Move on to case number 2170, and that's Kelly Efron. Is she on the line?
I am on the line, and he froze. Yes, I'm on that.
He froze. Okay. And Gail, can you give us a rundown?
Yes. This complaint came to the board by way of Dr. Alyssa Stockton. She's located in Thatcher, Arizona. According to Dr. Stockton, in September of 2020, a patient presented to her with severe dermatitis. The patient stated he had seen Ms. Efros about a week earlier, and she diagnosed him with a virus and prescribed Renew. Dr. Stockton classifies as a wrinkle cream. Dr. Stockton admits the patient stated he tried the Renew cream with no benefits, and after that, self-medicated with Benadryl. She further admits that the patient only informed her after two treatments that he has glucose issues, stating, quote, which of course would inhibit healing process progress, end quote. While Dr. Stockton also alleges Ms. Ephros presented herself as Dr. Ephros at a community health fair in 2016, this allegation is beyond the four-year time frame and not considered as part of this matter. Information regarding a 2017 holistic health conference was found on the web and disclosed both Ms. Ephros and Dr. Stockton. This document does not reflect Ms. Ephros as a naturopath. On December 10th, 2020, a complaint notice along with supporting document was sent to Callie Ephros. In her response, Ms. Ephros indicates she considers herself a quote-unquote traditional naturopath and uses the description of quote-unquote wellness coach. She states she has she does not diagnose and does not treat. On the website of IndigoMountain.com, Ms. Ephros states that she has a, quote, degree in naturopathic medicine from Southern College of Naturopathy and a certified Touch for Health practitioner, certified Lifeline Technique practitioner, and an aromatherapist. Information regarding Arkansas Attorney General lawsuit against Southern College of Naturopathic Medicine was also included in the board's packet. It appears Ms. Ephros is an individual who may have gone through a very limited, possibly two-week course in naturopathic medicine and refers to herself as a traditional naturopath. It's possible this may lead the public to believe she is a licensed naturopath in Arizona. It should be noted that the patient in question attempted to self-medicate prior to seeing Dr. Stockton. In addition, Dr. Stockton notes the patient's refusal to go to the emergency department.
Yeah, I'm back. I lost everything.
Are you the only one on the line?
I would like to let you know that my husband and Mark are here with me. We've been together. I have never set myself up to be a naturopath, medical doctor in any way, shape, or form. The school that I attended was over 20 years ago when I began it. It was to further my education for myself personally. I had been very sick in my 20s and 30s, and I was getting some help from some medical people where I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, and they suggested that school I got me because I had a library. This is a long time ago before there was even online school. It was 2 years or more where they would give me books to read. We had study groups. There was a group of us in Memphis, and again, it was from the patient and knowledge that we learned more. I have since attended many other little programs. I don't have a business to be a doctor of any kind. I have a retail store where I sell essential oils and over-the-counter supplements to people.
This is Dr. Rubin. Dr. Sedgwick, may I ask a question? I know I'm going to ask this. Please. Ms. Ephros, on the excerpts that we have in our board packet, under your bio, she has a degree in naturopathic medicine from Southern College of Naturopathy and is certified Touch for Health practitioner, et cetera. Do you have a degree in naturopathic medicine?
I have a degree that I received from Southern College of Natural Medicine, and that is just part of my educational background.
So is it in naturopathy or is it in naturopathic medicine?
He called it naturopathic medicine.
But I think that's something we're going to have to listen to, because I don't know. I don't know how the board wants to, stating a degree in naturopathic medicine may mislead the public, suggesting that somebody has a degree equitable to one from an accredited school and living and promoting themselves in the state of Arizona.
This is Dr. Hopefield. To add on to that, Callie, I'm just looking at your consent treatment. So I hear what you're saying. I understand that. I also would say if it was kind of being portrayed as a practitioner of some sort, we wouldn't have a consent to treat statement, and we wouldn't have item number 6, which says that that's not the case of gross negligence and malpractice. There would never be malpractice if you weren't holding yourself out as a practitioner. But I think most of the work you said, you're saying that, hey, I'm not representing myself as that. However, this is Dr. Rubin said that statement on the file, as well as having a consent agreement that talks about malpractice, would make it seem that, that you're a practitioner, and also that you're a traditional naturopath. Again, the general public, we're not going to determine the difference between a licensed and unlicensed practitioner. I think that's my concern.
So let me do that. I am a certified Lifeline Technique practitioner, and so I have certain requirements based on that to have a release form. And if I have to have a consent form for that is energy work. It's something I have been doing for a very long time, so that is why I have the consent form. So I do see clients and do that. I'm happy to take off the, where I went to school. I didn't see a problem with it. When I moved to Arizona, we did quite a bit of research, because I had at that point become a certified Lifeline Technique practitioner. I'm also a certified color code trainer, where I teach people, how to communicate better with their personality. That's what I do. But we researched back in 2009 for the appropriate term to call myself, and that was the best we could come up with. Actually, my business card right now says wellness coach. But in the process of, as things have changed over the years, trying to be very clear to the public.
This is Dr. Rubin. Ms. Anthony, I believe we do, in our rules or statutes or whatever it is, we define what naturopathic medicine is, and I think if naturopathic medicine falls outside of what Ms. Ephraim has been trained in, then using the term degree in naturopathic medicine on her bio to advertise in the state of Arizona would be not
here. And Dr. Sala, Dr. Rubin, members of the board, I believe statute defines naturopathic medicine is as taught in an approved school of naturopathic medicine.
And this is Dr. Rubin. For that reason, I have concerns that it is confusing to the public, and it's also not a legitimate statement to use that in our state where we have a protected license and a board. And that school would not be recognized by the U.S. Department of Education and be able to sit for licensure and examination. And it is my opinion that we should continue to protect the public and talk with Ms. Ephraim about moving that from her bio.
So, Ms. Ebrose, are you, where are you at with this? Are you willing to be at from your aisle?
Oh, absolutely. That is the reality, because I'm absolutely happy to be it. I have never wanted to be misrepresent who I am or what I am.
The individual that potentially passed away, did he just come in and purchase a lotion and then left?
I can only imagine who that is, because I've never disclosed the person. There is a man who came in looking for a topical illness. As he presented himself, was he had itchy skin. And I asked him if he had been seen by a medical doctor, that he should, whatever he purchases, that he should clear it with his medical doctor. He indicated that he had been to a doctor, and he was looking for something for itchy skin. So I don't know who that is. Somebody purchased something for himself, but at no point did I recommend an anti-wrinkle cream or skin lotion for anybody. Dr. Stockton, on that point, would be confused. If people want to buy lotion, they buy lotion like they do at Walmart.
Right. I mean, if this individual obviously is sick, and he's probably in stage 2 renal failure, so I would hope that somebody has gotten him to the proper care point. But to basically what Dr. Rubin was stating, and Dr. Papil, is we need you to stop utilizing that credentialing that you got from whatever school. It's confusing to the public, and it's going to create problems for people such as that individual. So I'll make a motion that you, whatever is out there, the medicine or physician, whatever, that you get that deleted from your website within a 30-day period.
How can you easily do that?
You said you can easily do that?
Yes, I will do that.
So, what other board members, do you have some further suggestions for her?
I don't know what you're talking about. I think the only other thing with the consent agreement, talking about traditional naturopath, that probably needs to be removed as well.
Are you able to get that off there also?
Yes.
Okay. So I just say
one more thing. The reason that many years ago I used that term was in an effort to distinguish myself as not a doctor, as not a licensed practitioner of any kind. So if that was an error, I do apologize. And everybody that I speak with or that comes into my retail store, they ask questions of this anybody, and I always send them to their doctor to get a diagnosis, and I always instruct them when they buy something off my shelf that they need to go speak to their doctor. So everybody that comes in here is very clear on what my role is.
All right. So
I think this is Sarah Aspen. Did you want to include in the motion to have the deputy write a letter inviting your desire and in writing within the 30 days?
Yes, please. And Ms. Anthony, is that clear, or do you?
Yes.
Okay. So, board members, we got a motion, and any further discussion? No? Okay. Can I get a second then on my motion?
This is Dr. Rubin. Dr. Sedgwick, did you receive the motion?
My motion was that he expunged all of the naturopathic statements off of her website, and if she has any historic literature, et cetera, that is no longer going to exist. And health coach, how she must put herself on it, that's her prerogative. But things that deal with naturopathic would be expunged and removed.
This is Dr. Rubin. I second that motion.
Sure. Dr. Sedgwick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries. This is an application for clinical training. Mr. Duke disclosed an affirmative answer on his application for clinical training. The statement was included in your board packet, and staff recommends issuance of the certificate.
This is Dr. Rubin. I'm in favor of such.
Okay. So, are you making a motion, Dr. Rubin, that we accept his application?
This is Dr. Rubin. I move to accept Mr. Duke's application.
Okay.
I'll second that. Come on.
Okay. And Dr. Sedgwick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Move on to number seven, review consideration of possible action regarding draft minutes. Has everyone gone through the draft minutes? That's for January.
Yeah, John and John for me.
Okay.
And Mr. Asper, is there anything we missed that you saw in the January?
In a minute,
I can fill in my comments.
So we leave a motion that we accept the minutes of January 14th, I believe, of all the session and executive session.
Excuse me. This is just open session minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Future agenda. Does the board have any, I think we have something for last time. Is there anything else we need to have on future agenda items? Nothing? Okay. And then number nine, which we call to the public. Those wishing to address the board, is there anyone in out there that would like to address the board? And going once, twice. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.